Good morning and welcome to our worship today. The focus of our service is on gratitude. That is the feeling we have when someone does something very kind to us or for us. Now let's apply that to God. How deserving are we of His generosity? As you think about the answers, we've got to be stunned by the undeserved generosity our God has shown us. And what's the effect? We overflow with gratitude. May God bless our time in His Word today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil. I have failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Dear friends, our Heavenly Father has been merciful to us. He has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We collect our thoughts in prayer. O merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to the Word of God for this Sunday, and our first lesson is from the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 8. We're going to hear how Noah expressed his gratitude for God's undeserved generosity in preserving the lives of him and his family. We begin reading at chapter 8, verse 15. God spoke to Noah. God said, "Go out of the ark, you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of every sort that is with you, all flesh, including birds, livestock, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may swarm over the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." Noah went out with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives along with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, whatever swarms on the earth went out of the ship, species by species. Noah built an altar to the Lord and took from every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled the pleasant aroma. The Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the soil any more because of man, for the thoughts he forms in his heart are evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." This is God's word. Our second lesson is the epistle lesson from Paul's second letter to the Corinthian congregation, chapter 9. Our gratitude for God's generosity to us will naturally include a willingness to be generous with others. We begin reading at verse 10. "And God, who provides seed to the sower and bread for food, will provide and multiply your seed for sowing and will increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you may be generous in every way, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. To be sure, the administration of this service is not only making up for what is lacking among the saints, but it is also overflowing in many prayers of thanksgiving to God. By proving yourselves in this service, many people are glorifying God, as they see the obedience shown in your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity shown in your sharing with them and all people. At the same time, as they pray for you, They also express their gratitude and longing for you because of the extraordinary measure of God's grace given to you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is God's word. And then we turn to our message for today. It comes from the Gospel, Luke chapter 17. We'll begin reading at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give thanks and praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is God's word. When trouble strikes, the natural reaction is to cry out for help. It was the prophet Isaiah who said in the 26th chapter, "Lord, they came to you in their distress." How true to life that is. When danger threatens or needs arise, who do you turn to? We turn to the Lord. But the prophet Isaiah also indicates still another thing. And that is that when the crisis is over and the danger has passed, people again forget about the Lord. It's true, isn't it? Today, Luke, in his gospel, makes that quite clear when he tells us the story of the 10 lepers. It's a story about standing at a distance from Jesus. It's a story about crying out to Jesus. It's a story about Jesus responding to our cry. It's also a story about us responding with gratitude to Jesus. But most of all, best of all, it's a story about getting close to Jesus. Our opening verse said, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance." Leprosy was a horrible disease. Slowly, the flesh of the leper would decay. His flesh would wither. There was no cure. And even worse than the body pain was the fact that the lepers were cast out from society. They were considered unclean. I don't think I could describe the sadness that they've suffered. If you were a dad, you could never again hug your kids. If you were a mom, grandma, you would never again experience your child running up to you and giving you a hug and a kiss. If you enjoyed your work, you were fired, left to fend on your own. And if you enjoyed socializing with friends, they were not your friends anymore. They wouldn't get near you. They would not email you or text you or call you. And when someone would get close to where you were, you had to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," and stand at a distance. What leprosy did to those lepers, sin does to all of us, you, me, everyone else. Sin infects each of us. It ruins our thinking, our speaking, our acting. Sin isolates us from others. It's because sin makes us selfish. We think only of ourselves. We don't really care about others, even if we upset them. And some of the nasty results of sin is gossip, jealousy, immorality, violence, divorce, hate. But worst of all, sin separates us from Jesus. We're like the lepers, standing at a distance. And if left untreated, that's exactly where we would have stayed, at a distance. So at a distance, we cry out to Jesus. Verse 13. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." The lepers kept their distance as they cried out. And in doing so, they acknowledged the fact that they had the disease. But they also acknowledged the fact that Jesus was the only one that could help them. And we as sinners do the same thing. That's what we did again as we began our service today. We spoke the confession of sins. We said, "Lord, have mercy." The movies give us a pretty good picture of maybe the situation where we're at. In the movie, picture a husband being put in jail. The wife comes to visit. They can see each other in that visiting area. They can even pick up a phone and talk to each other. They can even put their hands up against the wall, that plexiglass, but they can't touch. In the end, that's what really makes it so bad. You're so close, but yet so far away. Sin does that to our relationship with the Lord. We cry out to him. We know he's there. And what does Jesus do? Verse 14. Jesus saw them and he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And they went and they were cleansed. To the lepers, Jesus spoke the words of healing. "Go show yourself to the priest." And hearing those words from Jesus caused those lepers to come to one conclusion. And that was that they would be cleansed. And they were. Their hope, once gone, was now restored. Their skin now was clean and pure. Their relationship, once severed, now would be united. Friends, I want to take you back to the opening verse of the story. It began with these words, "Now on his way to Jerusalem." It tells us that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be punished for our sins in our place. With that fact, Jesus took care of our spiritual problem. But notice that he's not only concerned about our spiritual problems, he also cares about our earthly troubles. He proved that to these lepers. He took the time to heal them. And he's proved that to each and every one of us in more ways than we could possibly ever count. How many dangers has he brought us safely through? How many good gifts has he given to us in this short life of ours? Gratitude should come easy. Sin did not push Jesus away. It brought him closer to us. And every Sunday when we come to church, we are assured of this dramatic rescue through those beautiful words when Jesus says, "I forgive you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And what does all this mean? It means that we respond with gratitude. We read, "One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then Jesus said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Mom had her little boy with her when she went to the bank one day. When the transactions were all done, the teller had noticed that the little guy had been admiring the candy in the bowl on the counter. And to make the boy's visit a happy one, she picked out a piece and gave it to him as a gift. And happily, the little boy took it and went running for the door, only to be stopped by Mom. And she said, "Say thank you to the nice lady." Hopefully, the mother thinks to herself, her son will soon learn to say thank you without having to be told. "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Jesus asked. What a sad question that Jesus had to ask after only one returned to worship and give thanks. And then Jesus turns to the one who had fallen at his feet in thanksgiving, and he says, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Friends, let's not misunderstand Jesus' words and think that somehow this man's faith in Jesus was a good work on his part that caused his healing. Jesus had healed all the others as well. The healing was an act of our Lord Jesus' undeserved love, his grace, that caused this man and the others to be healed. But for the other nine, they were missing out on the real blessing that Jesus came to bring. They had their temporary healing. They went on their way, just like so many people in our world today. They received the blessings from God, and yet they ignore him in return. But for this guy, it was different. He had faith in Jesus as his Savior. And that grateful faith led him to return to bow down before the Lord in thanksgiving. And through that faith also, he was not only healed physically, but eternally. His faith in Jesus truly had made him well. Don't we have the same grateful faith? We know that all the good things God does for us day after day in this life are only temporary blessings. Even more than that, he has given us eternal security of heaven. How can we help but to react like this one leper did? With our lives bowed down in worship before our Lord and rising in thankful service to him, we sing in the hymn, "Take my life and let it be, Lord. Consecrate it to you." We have a grateful heart. A grateful heart then leads to service, to worship. Not just a gratitude that comes when we sit here praising God with our lips, but that gratitude that comes when we leave here to go out into the world, to live as God's servants, to live our lives to the glory of God. May God bless us as we remember the blessings he's given to us for all eternity. And may God grant that we respond with that grateful faith. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll pray. Gracious God and Father, we praise you for the countless blessings which we receive from your hand, the beauties of creation, the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, Lord, we thank you for your saving word, which you give us here today once again. Through this means of grace, Lord, you send that Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth. Lord God, you are the ruler of all. We commend our nation and its leaders to your care. Bless our president, the members of Congress, and all officials who serve us in state, county, and local governments. Impress on all who are in authority the sacredness of the responsibility that you have placed on them. Give them the gifts required for leadership, wisdom to make laws that will bring order and justice to our society. Teach us to honor all authorities as your representatives. Lord, open our lips to speak of your grace. Move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, and remember in mercy all of our loved ones who are sick, who are suffering. Bring your healing to troubled homes and lives. Move us, Lord, to pray for those in need, to help them with deeds of kindness. And now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. God bless you. Have a blessed week. Amen.